Do you want me to close on that now? For months she had been waiting for that particular corner location. But now she shook her head and sent him away with instructions to option 4 hectares of wasteland on the hill, north of the city.
But don't do it all yourself. Use intermediaries. Don't be greedy. And I don't want it aired that you're buying for me.
But 4 hectares, that's...
At least 4. Perhaps 5. Over the next 5 months. But options only. Understand? They're all to be put in these names.
She handed him the list of safe appointees and hurried him off, in her mind's eye, seeing the walled city within a city already thriving. She chortled with glee. Next, every courtesan was sent for and complimented or chided or howled at or wept with. Some were promoted, some degraded, pillow prices increased or decreased. Then, in the midst of everything, Omi was announced.
So sorry, but Kiku-san's not well, she told him. Nothing serious. It's just the change of weather, poor child.
I insist on seeing her.
So sorry, Omi-san. But surely you don't insist. Kiku-san belongs to your liege lord, ne?
I know whom she belongs to, Omi shouted. I want to see her, that's all.
Oh, so sorry, of course. You have every right to shout and curse. So sorry. Please excuse me. But so sorry. She's not well. This evening, or perhaps later, or tomorrow. What can I do, Omi-san? If she becomes well enough, perhaps I could send word if you'll tell me where you're staying.
He told her, knowing that there was nothing he could do, and stormed off, wanting to hack all Mishima to pieces. Kyoko thought about Omi. Then she sent for Kiku and told her the program she'd arrange for her 2 nights in Mishima.
Perhaps we can persuade Our Lady Toda to delay 4 or 5 nights, child. I know half a dozen here who'll pay a father's ransom to have you entertain them at private parties. Well, now that the great daimyo's bought you, none can touch you, not ever again. So you can sing and dance and mime and be our first geisha. And poor Omi-san, mistress. I've never heard him so cross before. So sorry he shouted at you. What's a shout or two when we consort with daimyos and the richest of the rich rice and silk brokers at long last? Tonight I'll tell Omi-san where you'll be the last time you sing, but much too soon, so he'll have to wait. I'll arrange a nearby room. Meanwhile, he'll have lots of sake, and Akiko to serve him. It won't hurt to sing a sad song or two to him afterwards. We're still not sure about Toranaga-sama, ne? We still haven't had a down payment, let alone the balance. Please excuse me. Wouldn't Choko be a better choice? She's prettier and younger and sweeter. I'm sure he would enjoy her more. Yes, child. But Akiko's strong and very experienced. When this sort of madness is on men, they're inclined to be rough. Rougher than you'd imagine. Even Omi-san. I don't want Choko damaged. Akiko likes danger and needs some violence to perform well. She'll take the sting out of his beauteous barb. Run along now. Your prettiest kimono and best perfumes.
Kyoko shooed Kiku away to get ready, and once more hurled herself into finishing the management of her house. Then, everything completed, even the formal cha invitation tomorrow to the 8 most influential mamasans in Mishima to discuss a matter of great import. She sank gratefully into a perfect bath.
Ah!
At the perfect time, a perfect massage. Perfume and powder and makeup and coiffure. New loose kimono of rare frothy silk. Then, at the perfect moment, her favorite arrived. He was 18, a student, son of an impoverished samurai, his name Inari.
Oh, how lovely you are! I rushed here the moment your poem arrived, he said breathlessly. Did you have a pleasant journey? I'm so happy to welcome you back.
thank you for the presents. The sword is perfect, and the kimono. Oh, how good you are to me. Yes, I am, she told herself, though she stoutly denied it to his face. Soon she was lying beside him, sweaty and languorous. Ah, Inari, she thought bemused, your pellucid pestles not built like the ancient sands, but what you lack in size, you surely make up with cataclysmic vigor. Why do you laugh? He asked sleepily. Because you make me happy, she sighed, delighted that she'd had the great good fortune to be educated. She chatted easily, complimented him extravagantly, and petted him to sleep, her hands and voice out of long habit, smoothly achieving all that was necessary of their own volition. Her mind was far away. She was wondering about Mariko and her paramour, rethinking the alternatives. How far dare she press Mariko? Or whom should she give them away to, or threaten her with? Subtly, of course. Toranaga, Buntaro, or whom? The Christian priest. Would there be any profit in that? Or Lord Kiyama? Certainly any scandal connecting the great Lady Toda with the barbarian would ruin her son's chance of marrying Kiyama's granddaughter. Would that threat bend her to my will? Or should I do nothing? Is there more profit in that, somehow? Pity about Mariko. Such a lovely lady. My, but she'd make a sensational courtesan. Pity about the Anjin-san. My, but he's a clever one. I could make a fortune out of him, too. How can I best use this secret, most profitably, before it's no longer a secret, and those two are destroyed? Be careful, Gyoko, she admonished herself. There's not much time left to decide about this, or about the other new secrets. About the guns and arms hidden by the peasants in Anjiro, for instance, or about the new musket regiment. Its numbers, officers, organization, and number of guns. Or about Toranaga, who, the last night in Yokose, pillowed Kiku pleasantly, using a classic 6 shallow and 5 deep rhythm for the 100 thrusts with the strength of a 30-year-old, and slept till dawn like a babe. That's not the pattern of a man distraught with worry, nay? What about the agony of the tonsured virgin priest, who, naked and on his knees, prayed first to his bigot Christian god, begging forgiveness for the sin he was about to commit with the girl, and the other sin, a real one, that he had done in Osaka? Strange secret things of the confessional that were whispered to him by a leper, then treacherously passed on by him to Lord Harima. What would Toranaga make of that? Endlessly pouring out what was whispered and passed onward, and then the praying with tight-closed eyes, before the poor, demented fool spread the girl wide with no finesse, and later slunk off like a foul night creature. So much hatred and agony and twisted shame. What about Omi's second cook, who whispered to a maid, who whispered to her paramour, who whispered to Akiko, that he'd overheard Omi and his mother plotting the death of Kashigi Yabu, their liege lord? That knowledge made public would set a cat among all the Kashigi pigeons. So would Omi's and Yabu's secret offer to Zataki, if whispered into Toranaga's ear. Or the words Zataki muttered in his sleep, that his pillow partner memorized and sold to me the next day, for a whole silver chokin. Words that implied General Ishido and Lady Ochiba ate together, slept together, and that Zataki himself had heard them grunting and groaning and crying out as Yang pierced Yin, even up to the far field.
Yoko smiled to herself smugly.
Shocking, ne? People in such high places. What about the other strange fact, that at the moment of the clouds and the rain, and a few times before, the Lord Zataki had unconsciously called his pillow partner Ochiba? Curious, ne? Would the Oso necessary to both sides Zataki change his song if Torunaga offered him Ochipa as bait?
Gyoko chuckled, warmed by all the lovely secrets, all so valuable in the right ears, that men had spilled out with their joyful dues.
"It'd change," she murmured confidently. "Oh, very yes."
"What?"
"Nothing, nothing, Inari-chan. Did you sleep well?"
"What?"
She smiled and let him slide back into sleep. Then, when he was ready, she put her hands and lips on him for his pleasure. And for hers.
"Where's the Inglés now, father?"
"I don't know exactly, Rodriguez. Yet. It would be one of the inns south of Mishima. I left a servant to find out which."
Alvito gathered up the last of the gravy with a crust of new bread.
"When will you know?"
"Tomorrow, without fail."
"Que va! I'd like to see him again. Is he fit?"
Rodriguez asked levelly.
"Yes."
The ship's bell sounded 6 times. 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
"Did he tell you what happened to him since he left Osaka?"
"I know parts of it, from him and others. It's a long story, and there's much to tell. First, I'll deal with my dispatches. Then we'll talk."
Rodriguez leaned back in his chair and in the small stern cabin.
"Good. That would be very good."
He saw the sharp features of the Jesuit, the sharp brown eyes flecked with yellow. Cat's eyes.
"Listen, father," he said. "The Inglés saved my ship and my life. Sure, he's enemy. Sure, he's heretic, but he's a pilot, one of the best that's ever been. It's not wrong to respect an enemy, even to like one."
"The Lord Jesus forgave his enemies, but they still crucified him."
Calmly, Alvito returned the pilot's gaze.
"But I like him too. At least, I understand him better. Let's leave him for the moment."
Rodriguez nodded agreeably. He noticed the priest's plate was empty, so he reached across the table and moved the platter closer.
"Here, father, have some more capon. Bread?"
"Thank you. Yes, I will. I didn't realize how hungry I was."
The priest gratefully tore off another leg and took more sage and onion and bread stuffing, then poured the last of the rich gravy over it.
"Wine?"
"Yes, thank you."
"Where are the rest of your people, father?"
"I left them at an inn near the wharf."
Rodriguez glanced out of the stern bay windows that overlooked Numazu, the wharfs and the port, and just to starboard, the mouth of the Kano, where the water was darker than the rest of the sea. Many fishing boats were plying back and forth.
"The servant you left, father, you can trust him? You're sure he'll find us?"
"Oh, yes. They'll certainly not move for 2 days at least."
Alvito had already decided not to mention what he, or more truthfully, he reminded himself, what Brother Michael suspected. So he just added,
"Don't forget they're traveling in state. With Toda Mariko's rank and Torunaga's banners, they're very much in state. Everyone within 4 leagues would know about them and where they're staying."
Rodriguez laughed.
"The Inglés in state? Who'd have believed that? Like a poxy daimyo."
"That's not the half of it, pilot. Torunaga's made him samurai and Hatamoto."
"What?"
"Now Pilot Major Blackthorn wears the 2 swords, with his pistols. And now he's Torunaga's confidant, to a certain extent, and protege."
"The Inglés?"
"Yes."
Alvito let the silence hang in the cabin and went back to eating.
"Do you know the why of it?"
Rodriguez asked.
"Yes, in part. All in good time, pilot."
"Just tell me the why. Briefly. Details later, please."
"The Anjin-san saved Torunaga's life for the 3rd time. 2 times during the escape from Osaka, the last in Izu during an earthquake."
Alvito chomped lustily on the thigh meat. A thread of juice ran into his black beard. Rodriguez waited, but the priest said no more. Thoughtfully, his eyes dropped to the goblet cradled in his hands. The surface of the deep red wine caught the light. After a long pause, he said,
"It wouldn't be good for us, that peace-cutting Inglés close to Torrenaga. Not at all. Not him, eh?"
"I agree."
"Even so, I'd like to see him."
The priest said nothing. Rodriguez let him clean his plate in silence, then offered more, the joy gone out of him. The last of the carcass and the final wing were accepted, and another goblet of wine. Then, to finish, some fine French cognac that Father Alvito got from a cupboard.
"Rodriguez, would you care for a glass?"
"Thank you."
The seaman watched Alvito pour the nut-brown liquor into the crystal glass. All the wine and cognac had come from the father visitor's private stock, as a parting gift to his Jesuit friend.
"Of course, Rodriguez. You're welcome to share it with the father,"
Delacroix had said.
"Go with God. May he watch over you and bring you safely to port and home again."
"Thank you, Eminence."
"Yes, thank you, Eminence, but no God-cursed thanks,"
Rodriguez told himself bitterly.
"No thanks for getting my Captain General to order me aboard this pig boat, under this Jesuit's command, and out of my Gracia's arms. Poor darling. Madonna, life's so short, too short and too treacherous, to waste being chaperone to gut-stinking priests, even Alvito, who's more of a man than any, and, because of that, more dangerous. Madonna, give me some help."
"Oh, you leave, Rodsan? Leave so soon? Oh, so sorry."
"Soon come back, my darling."
"Oh, so sorry. We miss, little one and I."
For a moment, he had considered taking her aboard the Santa Felipa, but instantly dismissed the thought, knowing it to be perilous for her, and for him, and for the ship.
"So sorry. Back soon."
"We wait, Rodsan. Please excuse my sad. So sorry."
Always the hesitant, heavily accented Portuguese, she tried so hard to speak, insisting that she be called by her baptismal name, Gracia, and not by the lovely-sounding Nyan-Nyan, which meant kitten, and suited her so well and pleased him better. He had sailed away from Nagasaki, hating to leave, cursing all priests and captain-generals, wanting an end to summer and autumn so he could up-anchor the black ship, her holds weighed now with bullion, to head for home at long last, rich and independent.
But then what?
The perpetual question swamped him.
What about her and the child? Madonna, help me to answer that with peace.
"An excellent meal, Rodriguez,"
Alvito said, toying with a crumb on the table.
"Thank you."
"Good."
Rodriguez was serious now.
"What's your plan, Father? We should..."
He stopped in mid-sentence and glanced out of the windows. Then, dissatisfied, he got up from the table and limped painfully over to a landside porthole and peered out.
"What is it, Rodriguez?"
"Thought I felt the tide change. Just want to check our sea room."
He opened the cover further and leaned out, but still couldn't see the bow anchor.
"Excuse me a moment, Father."
He went on deck. Water lapped the anchor chain that angled into the muddy water. No movement. Then a thread of wake appeared, and the ship began to ease off safely, to take up her new station with the ebb. He checked her lie, then the lookouts. Everything was perfect. No other boats were near. The afternoon was fine, the mist long since gone. They were a cable or so offshore, far enough out to preclude a sudden boarding, and well away from the sea lanes that fed the wharves. His ship was a Lorcha, a Japanese hull adapted to modern Portuguese sails and rigging. Swift, two-masted, and sloop-rigged. It had four cannon amidships, two small bow chasers, and two stern chasers. Her name was the Santa Felipa, and she carried a crew of 30. His eyes went to the city and to the hills beyond.
"Pizarro!"
"Yes, senor?"
"Get the longboat ready. I'm going ashore before dusk."
"Good. She'll be ready." When are you back?
Dawn. Even better. I'll lead the show party. 10 men.
No, sure leave, Pesaro. It's Kinjiro. Motonor, is your brain addled?
Rodriguez straddled the quarterdeck and leaned against the gunwale.
Not right that all should suffer,
said the bosun, Pesaro, his great calloused hands flexing.
I'll lead the party and promise there'll be no trouble. We've been cooped up for 2 weeks now.
The port authorities here said Kinjiro. So sorry. But still, goddamned Kinjiro, remember this isn't Nagasaki.
Yes, by the blood of Christ Jesus, and most of pity.
The heavy-set man scowled.
It was only one Japo that got chopped.
One chopped dead, 2 knifed badly, a lot of wounded, and a girl hurt before the samurai stopped the riot. I warned you all before you went ashore. Numazu's not Nagasaki, so behave yourselves. Madonna, we were lucky to get away with just one of our seamen dead. They'd have been within the law to chop all 5 of you.
Their law, pilot, not ours. God-cursed monkeys. It was only a whorehouse brawl.
Yes, but your men started it. The authorities have quarantined my ship, and you all benched. You included.
Rodriguez moved his leg to ease the pain.
Be patient, Pesaro. Now that the father's back, we'll be off.
On the tide? At dawn? Is that an order?
No, not yet. Just get the longboat ready. Gomez will come with me.
Let me come as well, eh? Por favor, pilot. I'm sick to death of being stuck in this pox-cursed bucket.
No, and you'd better not go ashore tonight. You or any.
And if you're not back by dawn?
You rot here at anchor till I do. Clear?
The bosun's scowl deepened. He hesitated, then backed down.
Yes, yes, that's clear, by God.
Good.
Rodriguez went below. Alvito was asleep, but he awoke the moment the pilot opened the cabin door.
Ah, all's well?
He asked, replete now in mind and body.
Yes, it was just the turn.
Rodriguez gulped some wine to take the foul taste out of his mouth. It was always like that after a near mutiny. If Pizarro had not yielded instantly, once again Rodriguez would have had to blow a hole in a man's face, or put him in irons, or order 50 lashes, or keelhaul the man, or perform any one of 100 obscenities essential by sea law to maintain discipline. Without discipline, any ship was lost.
What's the plan now, Father? We sail at dawn?
How are the carrier pigeons?
In good health. We've still 6. 4 Nagasakis, 2 Osakas.
The priest checked the angle of the sun. 4 or 5 hours to sunset. Plenty of time to launch the birds with the first coded message, long since planned.
Toranaga surrenders to regent's order. I'm going first to Edo, then Osaka. I will accompany Toranaga to Osaka. He says we can still build the cathedral at Edo. Detailed dispatch with Rodriguez. Would you please ask the handler to prepare 2 Nagasakis and 1 Osaka immediately?
Alvito said.
Then we'll talk. I won't be sailing back with you. I'm going on to Edo by road. It'll take me most of the night and tomorrow to write a detailed dispatch, which you'll carry to the father visitor, for his hands only. Will you sail as soon as I've finished?
All right. If it's too near dusk, I'll wait till dawn. There are shoals and shifting sands for 10 leagues.
Alvito assented. The 12 extra hours would make no difference. He knew it would have been far better if he'd been able to send off the news from Yokose.
God curse the heathen devil who destroyed my birds there.
Be patient, he told himself.
What's the hurry? Isn't that a vital rule of our order? Patience? All comes to him who waits and works.
What does 12 hours matter, or even 8 days? Those won't change the course of history. The die was cast in your cose.
You'll travel with the Inglés? Rodriguez was asking. Like before?
Yes. From Edo, I'll make my own way back to Osaka. I'll accompany Toranaga. I'd like you to stop at Osaka with a copy of my dispatch, in case the father visitors there, or has left Nagasaki before you arrive, and is on the way there. You can give it to Father Soldi, his secretary. Only him.
All right. I'll be glad to leave. We're hated here.
With God's mercy, we can change all that, Rodriguez. With God's good grace, we'll convert all the heathens here.
Amen to that. Yes.
The tall man eased his leg, and the throb lessened momentarily. He stared out of the windows. Then he got up impatiently.
I'll fetch the pigeons myself. Write your message, then we'll talk. About the Inglés.
He went to the deck and selected the birds from the panniers. When he returned, the priest had already used the special needle-sharp quill and ink to inscribe the same coded message on the tiny slivers of paper. Alvito armed the tiny cylinders, sealed them, and launched the birds. The three circled once, then headed westward in convoy into the afternoon sun.
Shall we talk here or below?
Here. It's cooler.
Rodriguez motioned the quarterdeck watch amidships out of earshot. Alvito sat on the sea chair.
First, about Toranaga.
He told the pilot briefly what had happened in Yokose, omitting the incident with Brother Joseph and his suspicions about Mariko and Blackthorn. Rodriguez was as stunned by the surrender as he had been.
No war? It's a miracle! Now we're truly safe. Our black ship safe. The church is rich. We're rich. Thanks be to God, the saints and the Madonna. That's the best news you could have brought, Father. We're safe.
If God wills it. One thing Toranaga said disturbed me. He put it this way. I can order my Christian freed, the Anjinsan, with his ship and with his cannon.
Rodriguez's vast good humor left him.
Erasmus is still in Edo? She's still in Toranaga's control?
Yes. Would it be serious if the Inglés were loosed?
Serious? That ship would blast hell out of us if she caught our black ship, twixt here and Macau, with him aboard, armed, with a half-decent crew. We're only the small frigate to run interference, and she's no match for Erasmus. Nor are we. She could dance around us, and we'd have to strike our colors.
Are you certain?
Yes. Before God. She'd be a killer.
Angrily, Rodriguez bunched a fist.
But wait a moment. The Inglés said he'd arrive here with no more than 12 men, and not all seamen, many of them merchants, and most sick. That few couldn't handle her. The only place he could get a crew would be at Nagasaki, or Macau. He might get enough at Nagasaki. There are those who'd... He'd better be kept away from there, and Macau.
Say he had a native crew.
You mean some of Toranaga's cutthroats? Or Waco? You mean if Toranaga surrendered, all his men become Ronin, ne? If the Inglés had enough time, he could train them. Easy. Christ Jesus. Please excuse me, Father, but if the Inglés got Samurai or Waco, can't risk that. He's too good. We all saw that in Osaka. Him loose in that piss-gutter in Asia with a samurai crew.
Alvito watched him, even more concerned now.
I think I'd better send another message to the father visitor. He should be informed if it's this urgent. He'll know what to do.
I know what to do!
Rodriguez's fist smashed down on the gunwale. He got to his feet and turned his back.
Listen, Father, hear my confession. The first night, the very first time he stood alongside me on the galley out to sea, when we were going from Anjiro, my heart told me to kill him, then again during the storm. The Lord Jesus helped me. That was the time I sent him forward and deliberately swerved into the wind without warning, him without a lifeline, to murder him. But the Inglés didn't go overboard like anyone else would have done. I thought that was the hand of God, and knew it for certain when later he overruled me and saved my ship. And then when my ship was safe and the wave took me and I was drowning, my last thought was that that also was God's punishment on me for an attempted murder. You don't do that to a pilot. He'd never do that to me. I deserved it that time. And then, when I found myself alive and him bending over me, helping me drink, I was so ashamed. And again, I begged God's forgiveness and swore a holy oath to try to make it up to him. Madonna! He burst out in torment. That man saved me, though he knew I tried to murder him. I saw it in his eyes. He saved me and helped me live, and now I've got to kill him.
Why?
The Captain General was right. God help us all if the English puts to sea in Erasmus, armed with a half-decent crew.
Blackthorn and Marica were sleeping in the nocturnal peace of their little house, one of a cluster that made up the Inn of the Camellias, which was on 9th Street South. There were three rooms in each. Marica had taken one room for herself and Chimoko, Blackthorn another, and the third that let onto the front door and veranda had been left empty for living and eating and talking.
"You think this is safe?" Blackthorn had asked anxiously. "Not to have Yoshinika? Or more maids or guards sleeping there?"
"No, Anshin-san. Nothing's truly safe. But it will be pleasant to be alone. This inn's thought to be the prettiest and most famous in Izu. It is pretty, nay?"
And it was. Each tiny house was set on elegant pilings with circling verandas and four steps up, made from the finest woods, everything polished and gleaming. Each was separate, 50 paces from its neighbours, and surrounded by manicured gardens within the greater garden, within the high bamboo wall. There were streamlets and lily ponds and waterfalls and blossom trees in abundance, with day perfumes and night perfumes, sweet-smelling and luxurious. Clean stone footpaths, delicately roofed, led to the central baths, cold and hot and very hot, fed by natural springs. Multicoloured lanterns and happy servants and maids, and never a cross word to disturb the tree bells and bubbling water and singing birds in their aviaries.
"Of course, I did ask for two houses, Anshin-san. One for you and one for me. Unfortunately, only one was available. So sorry." "But Yoshinika-san isn't displeased. On the contrary, he was relieved as he wouldn't have to split his men. He has posted sentries on every path, so we are quite safe and can't be disturbed as in other places." "Why should we be disturbed? What could possibly be wrong with a room here, and a room there, and Chimoko to share my bed?"
"Nothing. I've never seen such a beautiful place. How clever you are, and how beautiful."
"Ah, how kind you are to me, Anjin-san. First bathe, then the evening food, and lots of sake."
"Good. Very good."
"Put down your dictionary, Anjin-san, please."
"But you're always encouraging me."
"If you put your book down, I'll tell you a secret."
"What?"
"I've invited Yoshinika-san to eat with us, and some ladies, to entertain us."
"Ah!"
"Yes. After I leave you, you will select one, ne?"
"But that might disturb your sleep. So sorry."
"I promise I will sleep very heavily, my love. Seriously, a change might be good for thee."
"Yes, but next year, not now."
"Be serious."
"I am."
"Ah, then in that case, if by chance you politely changed your mind and sent her away soon, after Yoshinika-san has left with his partner, ah, who knows what the Night Kami might find for thee then?"
"What?"
"I went shopping today."
"Oh, and what did you buy?"
"Ah."
She had bought an assortment of the pillow devices that Kiku had shown them. And much later, when Yoshinika had left and Chimoko was guarding on the veranda, she offered them to him with a deep bow. Half in jest, he accepted with equal formality, and together they selected a pleasure ring.
"That looks very prickly, Anjin-san, eh? Are you sure you don't mind?"
"No, not if you don't. But stop laughing or you'll ruin everything. Put out the candles."
"Oh no, please. I want to watch."
"For the love of God, stop laughing, Mariko."
"But you're laughing too."
"Never mind. Put the light out or... There. Now look what you've done."
"Oh,
stop laughing. It's no good putting your head in the futons." Then later, trouble. "Mariko?"
"Yes, my love?"
"I can't find it."
"Oh, let me help you."
It's all right. I've got it. I was lying on it."
"Oh, you're sure you don't mind?"
"No, but it's a bit, well, not exactly uplifting, all this talking about it and having to wait. Is it?"
"Oh, I don't mind. It was my fault for laughing." "Oh, Anjin-san, I love you so. Please excuse me."
"You're excused."
"I love to touch thee."
"I've never known anything like your touch."
"What are you doing, Anjin-san?"
"I'm putting it on."
"Is it difficult?"
"Yes. Stop laughing."
"Oh, I'm so sorry. Perhaps you..."
"Stop laughing!
Please forgive me."
Afterwards she went to sleep instantly, totally spent. He did not. For him it had been fine, but not perfect. He'd been too worried about her. He decided this time was for her pleasure, and not his. Yes, that was for her, he thought, loving her. But one thing was perfect. I know I've truly satisfied her. For once, I'm absolutely sure. He slept. Later the sound of voices and quarrelling, and mixed with it, Portuguese, began to filter through his slumber. For a moment he thought he was dreaming. Then he recognized the voice. "Rodriguez!" Mariko murmured, still locked in sleep. At the sound of footsteps on the path, he lurched to his knees in controlled panic. He lifted her as if she were a doll, went for the shoji, and stopped just as it was open from the outside. It was Chimoko. The maid's head was lowered and her eyes discreetly closed. He rushed past her with Mariko in his arms and laid her gently in her own quilts, still half asleep, and ran silently for his own room again. The sweat chill on him, though the night was warm. He groped into a kimono and hurried out again to the veranda. Yoshinika had reached the second step.
"Nandesuka, Yoshinika-san?"
"Gomenasai, Anjin-san," Yoshinika said.
He pointed to the flares at the far gate of the inn, adding many words that Blackthorn did not understand. But the gist of it was that,
"That man there, the barbarian, he wants to see you, and I told him to wait, and he said he wouldn't wait, acting like a daimyo, which he isn't, and tried to push past, which I stopped. He said he was your friend. Is he?"
"Heya, Inglés! It's me, Vasco Rodriguez!"
"Hey, Rodriguez!"
Blackthorn shouted back happily.
"Be right with you."
"Hi, Yoshinika-san. Kariwa watash no ichyujen des."
"He's my friend."
"Aso des. Hi, domo."
Blackthorn ran down the steps to go to the gateway. Behind him he heard Mariko's voice.
"Nancha, Chimoko?"
And a whisper back, and then she called out with authority.
"Yoshinika-san."
"Hi. Toda-sama!"
Blackthorn glanced around. The samurai walked up the steps and crossed toward Mariko's room. Her door was closed. Chimoko stood outside it. Now her own crumpled bedding was near the door where she would always sleep, correctly, should her mistress not wish her to be in the room with her. Yoshinika bowed to the door and began to report. Blackthorn walked along the path with growing elation, barefoot, his eyes on the Portuguese, the width of the welcoming smile, the light from the flares dancing off his earrings, and the buckle of his jaunty hat.
Hey, Rodriguez! It's great to see you! How's your leg? How'd you find me?
Madonna! You've grown, Inglés! Filled out!
Yes, fit and healthy, and acting like a piss-cutting daimyo!
Rodriguez gave him a bear hug, and he returned it.
How's your leg? Hurts like shit, but it works, and I found you by asking where the great Anjinsan was. The big barbarian bandit bastard with the blue eyes!
They laughed together, swapping obscenities, careless of the samurai and servants that surrounded them. In a moment, Blackthorn sent a servant for sake and led the way back. Both strolled with their sailor's gait, Rodriguez's right hand, by habit, on his rapier's hilt, the other thumb hooked into his wide belt near his pistol. Blackthorn was a few inches taller, but the Portuguese had even wider shoulders and a barrel-chested power to him. Yoshinika was waiting on the veranda.
Domo arigato, Yoshinika-san,
Blackthorn said, thanking the samurai again, and motioned Rodriguez to one of the cushions.
Let's talk here.
Rodriguez put a foot on the steps, but stopped as Yoshinika moved in front of him, pointed at the rapier and the pistol, then held out his left hand, palm upwards.
Dozo!
The Portuguese frowned up at him.
Iye, samurai-sama! Domo ari...
Dozo!
Iye, samurai-sama! Iye!
Rodriguez repeated more sharply.
Watashi yujin anjin-san, ne?
Blackthorn moved forward a step, still amazed at the suddenness of the confrontation.
Yoshinika-san, shigataka nai, ne?
He said with a smile.
Rodriguez yujin, what the...
Gomen nasai, anjin-san! Kinjaru!
Yoshinika rapped an order. Instantly, samurai leapt forward, surrounding Rodriguez threateningly, and again he held out his hand.
Dozo!
These shit-filled whores are touchy, Inglés,
Rodriguez said through a toothy smile.
Call them off, eh? I've never had to give up my arms before.
Don't, Rodriguez,
he said quickly, sensing his friend's imminent decision. Then to Yoshinika.
Domo, gomen nasai. Rodriguez yujin. Watash,
gomen nasai, Anjin-san. Kinjiru.
Then roughly to the Portuguese.
Ima!
Rodriguez snarled back.
Iye! Wakarimasu-ka?
Blackthorn hastily stepped between them.
Hey, Rodriguez, what does it matter, ne?
Let Yoshinika-san have them. It's nothing to do with you or me.
It's because of the lady, Toda Mariko-sama. She's in there. You know how touchy they are about weapons near daimyos, or their wives. We'll argue all night. You know how they are, eh? What's the difference?
The Portuguese forced a smile back on his face.
Sure, why not?
Aye, shigata ga nai, samurai-sama.
So des.
He bowed like a courtier without sincerity, slid his rapier and scabbard from its clasp, and took out his pistol, and offered them. Yoshinika motioned to a samurai, who took the weapons and ran off to the gateway, where he put them down and stood guard over them. Rodriguez started to mount the steps, but again Yoshinika politely and firmly asked him to stop. Other samurai came forward to search him. Furious, Rodriguez leaped back.
Iye! Kinjiro, by God! What the...
The samurai fell on him, pinned his arms tight, and searched him thoroughly. They found two knives in the tops of his boots, another strapped to his left forearm, two small pistols, one concealed in the lining of his coat, one under his shirt, and a small pewter hip flask. Blackthorn examined the pistols. Both were primed.
Was the other primed too?
Yes, of course. This land's hostile. Haven't you noticed, Inglés? Tell them to let go of me.
This isn't the usual way to visit a friend by night, eh?
I tell you, this land's hostile. I'm always armed like this. Aren't you normally? Madonna, tell these bastards to let me go.
Is that the lot? Everything?
Of course. Tell them to let me go, Inglés.
Blackthorn gave the pistols to a samurai and stepped forward. His fingers felt carefully around the inside of Rodriguez's wide leather belt. A stiletto slid from its secret sheath, very thin, very springy, made of the best Damascus steel. Yoshinika swore at the samurai who had made the search. They apologized, but Blackthorn only watched Rodriguez. "Any more?" he asked, the stiletto loose in his hand. Rodriguez stared back at him stonily. "I'll tell him where to look, and how to look, Rodriguez. How a Spaniard would. Some of them, eh?"
"Me cago en la leche! ¡Qué cabrón! ¡Qué va leche!"
"Hurry up!" Still no answer. Blackthorn went forward with the knife.
"Dozo, Yoshinika-san, watash!"
Rodriguez said hoarsely,
"In my hat band!"
And Blackthorn stopped.
"Good,"
he said, and reached for the wide-brimmed hat.
"You would, wouldn't you? Teach them."
"Wouldn't you?"
"Be careful of the feather, Inglés. I cherish that."
The band was wide and stiff, the feather jaunty like the hat. Inside the band was a thin stiletto, smaller, specially designed, the fine steel easily molding the curve. Yoshina barked out another vicious reprimand to the samurai.
"Before God, that's all, Rodriguez?"
"Madonna, I told you!"
"Swear it."
Rodriguez complied.
"Yoshinika-san, ima ichiban, domo,"
Blackthorn said. "He's all right now, thank you." Yoshinika gave the order. His men released the Portuguese. Rodriguez rubbed his limbs to ease the pain.
"Is it all right to sit down, Inglés?"
"Yes."
Rodriguez wiped off the sweat with the red kerchief, then picked up the pewter flask and sat cross-legged on one of the cushions. Yoshinika remained nearby on the veranda. All but four samurai went back to their posts.
"Why are they so touchy? Why are you so touchy, Inglés? I've never had to give up my weapons before. Am I an assassin?"
"I asked you if that was all your weapons, and you lied."
"I wasn't listening. Madonna, would you? Held like a common criminal."
Rodriguez added sourly.
"Hey, what's it matter, Inglés? What's anything matter? The night's spoiled." "Hey, but wait, Inglés. Why should anything be allowed to spoil a great evening? I forgive them. And I forgive you, Inglés. You were right, and I was wrong. I apologize. It's good to see you."
He unscrewed the stopper and offered the flask.
"Here, here's some fine brandy."
"You first."
Rodriguez's face became ashen.
"Madonna, do you think I bring poison?"
"No. You drink first."
Rodriguez drank.
"Again."
The Portuguese obeyed, then wiped his mouth with the back of his hand. Blackthorn accepted the flask.
"Salud!"
He tipped it back and pretended to swallow, secretly keeping his tongue over the opening to prevent the liquor from going into his mouth, much as he wanted the drink.
"Ah," he said, "that was good. Here, keep it, Inglés. It's a present."
"From the good father or from you?"
"From me."
"Before God?"
"God and the Virgin, thou and thy before God,"
Rodriguez said.
"It was a gift from me and the father. He owns all the liquor aboard the Santa Felipa, but the Eminence said I could share it and the flask one of a dozen aboard. It's a gift. Where are your manners?"
Blackthorn pretended to drink again and offered it back.
"Here, have another."
Rodriguez felt the liquor all the way to his toes and was glad that after accepting the full flask from Alvito, he had privately emptied it and washed it out carefully and refilled it with brandy from his own bottle.
"Madonna, forgive me,"
he prayed.
"Forgive me for doubting the Holy Father. Oh, Madonna, God and Lord Jesus, for the love of God, come to earth again and change this world where sometimes we do not even trust priests."
"What's the matter?"
"Nothing, Inglés. I was just thinking that this world's a foul piss-gutter when you can't trust anyone nowadays. I came in friendship,
and now there's a hole in the world.
Did you?
Yes. Armed like that? I'm always armed like that. That's why I'm alive. Salute.
The big man raised the flask gloomily and sipped again.
Peace on the world. Peace on everything.
Are you saying piss on me?
Inglés, this is me, Vasco Rodriguez, pilot of the Portuguese Navy, not a fly-blown samurai. I've exchanged many insults with you, all in friendship. Tonight, I came to see my friend, and now I have no friend. So sad.
Yes.
I shouldn't be sad, but I am. Being friends with thee complicated my life extraordinarily.
Rodriguez got up and eased his back, then sat down again.
I hate sitting on these God-cursed cushions. Chairs are for me. A board. Well, salute, Inglés.
When you swerved into wind and I was amidships, that was to put me overboard, wasn't it?
Yes, Rodriguez answered at once. He got to his feet.
Yes, I'm glad you asked me, for that is on my conscience terribly. I'm glad to apologize to you in life, for I could not bring myself to confess it to you. Yes, Inglés, I don't ask forgiveness or understanding or anything, but I am glad to confess that shame to your face.
You think I'd do that to you?
No, but then if the time came, you never know till your own time of trial.
You came here to kill me?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that was first in my mind, though for my people and my country, we both know it would be better for you to be dead. So sad, but so true. How foolish is life, eh, Inglés?
I don't want you dead, pilot. Just your black ship.
Listen, Inglés, said Rodriguez without anger. If we meet at sea, you in your ship, armed, me in mine, look to your life. That's all I came to promise you, only that. I thought it would be possible to tell you that as a friend, and still remain your friend. Except for a sea meeting, I am forever in your debt. Salute.
I hope to catch your black ship at sea.
Salute, pilot.
Rodriguez stalked off. Yoshinaka and the samurai followed him. At the gateway, the Portuguese collected his arms. Soon he was swallowed by the night. Yoshinaka waited until the sentry sorted themselves out. When he was satisfied that all was secure, he limped off to his own quarters. Blackthorn sat back on one of the cushions, and in a moment the maid that he had sent for sake happily padded up with the tray. She poured one cup and would have stayed to serve him, but he dismissed her. Now he was alone. The night sounds surrounded him again, the rustling and the waterfall and the movements of the night birds. Everything was as before, but everything had changed. Sadly, he reached out to refill his cup, but there was a sibilance of silk, and Mariko's hand held the flask. She poured for him, the other cup for herself.
Domo, Mariko-san.
Do itashimashite, Anjin-san.
She settled herself on the other cushion. They sipped the hot wine.
He was going to kill you, ne?
I don't know. Not for sure.
What did it mean, to search like a Spaniard?
Some of them strip their prisoners, then probe in private places. And not gently. They call it to search con significa, with significance. Sometimes they use knives.
Oh.
She sipped and listened to the water among the stones.
It's the same here, Anjin-san. Sometimes. That's why it's never wise to be captured. If you're captured, you've dishonored yourself so completely that anything the captor does, it's best not to be captured. Nay?
He stared at the lanterns moving in the cool, sweet breeze.
Yoshinaka was right. I was wrong. The search was necessary. It was your idea, nay? You told Yoshinaka to search him?
Please excuse me, Anshin-san. I hope that didn't create an embarrassment for you. It was just that I was afraid for you.
I thank thee, he said, using Latin again, though he was sorry there had been a search. Without the search, he would still have a friend.
Perhaps, he cautioned himself.
Thou art welcome, she said, but it was only my duty.
Mariko was wearing a night kimono and over kimono of blue, her hair braided loosely, falling to her waist. She looked back at the far gateway, which could be seen through the trees.
You were very clever about the liquor, Anjin-san. I almost pinched myself with anger at forgetting to warn Yoshinika about that. You were most shrewd to make him drink twice. Do you use poison a lot in your countries?
Sometimes. Some people do. It's a filthy way.
Yes, but very effective. It happens here, too.
Terrible, isn't it? Not being able to trust anyone.
Oh, no, Anjin-san. So sorry, she answered. That's just one of life's most important rules. No more. No less.
Part 4 Chapter 47 Erasmus glittered in the high noon sun beside the Edo Wharf, resplendent.
Jesus, God in heaven, Mariko, look at her. Have you ever seen anything like her? Look at her lines.
His ship was beyond the closed encircling barriers, 100 paces away, moored to the dock with new ropes. The whole area was heavily guarded. More samurai were on deck, and signs everywhere said this was a forbidden area, except with Lord Torunaga's personal permission. Erasmus had been freshly painted and tarred. Her decks were spotless, her hull caulked, and her rigging repaired. Even the foremast that had been carried away in the storm had been replaced with the last of the spares she carried in her hold, and stepped to a perfect angle. All rope ends were neatly coiled, all cannon gleaming under a protective sheen of oil behind their gun ports, and the ragged Lion of England fluttered proudly over all.
Ahoy!
He shouted joyfully from outside the barriers, but there was no answering call. One of the sentries told him there were no barbarians aboard today.
Shigata ganai, Blackthorn said. Domo.
He curbed his soaring impatience to go aboard at once and beamed at Mariko.
It's as if she's just come out of a refit at Portsmouth Dockyard, Mariko-san. Look at her cannon. The lads must have worked like dogs. She's beautiful, ne? Can't wait to see Bacchus and Vink and the others. Never thought I'd find her like that. Christ Jesus, she looks so pretty, ne?
Mariko was watching him and not the ship. She knew she was forgotten now and replaced.
Never mind, she told herself. Our journey's over.
This morning they had arrived at the last of the turnpikes on the outskirts of Edo. Once more their travel papers were checked. Once more they were passed through with politeness. But this time a new honor guard was waiting for them.
They're to take us to the castle, Anjin-san. You'll stay there, and this evening we're to meet Lord Torunaga.
Good, then there's plenty of time. Look, Mariko-san, the docks aren't more than a mile off, ne? My ship's there somewhere. Would you ask Captain Yoshinika if we can go there, please?
He says, so sorry, but he has no instructions to do that, Anjin-san. He is to take us to the castle.
Please tell him. Perhaps I'd better try. Taicho-san, okashira, skoshi no aida, watakushi wa ikitai no desu. Watakushi no fune ga, asoko ni arimasu.
Captain, I want to go there now for a little while. My ship's there.
Ie, Anjin-san, gomen nasai, ima...
Mariko had listened approvingly and with amusement, as Blackthorn had argued courteously and insisted firmly. And then, reluctantly, Yoshinika had allowed them to detour.
But just for a moment, ne?
And only because the Anjin-san claimed Hatamoto status, which gave certain inalienable rights, and had pointed out that a quick examination was important to Lord Torunaga, that it would certainly save their lord's immensely valuable time, and was vital to his meeting tonight.
Yes, the Anjin-san may look for a moment, but so sorry, it is of course forbidden to go on the ship without papers, signed personally by Lord Torunaga. and it must only be for a moment, because we are expected.